Was again tonight to the scripture that I used this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just a very brief review, very brief. But the apostle determined three things. He determined three things. Number one, in verse 2, the subject matter of his preaching would be the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified. He said, I determine, I resolve not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's my resolution, my determination. The subject matter of my preaching has been and is now and will be Christ and Him crucified. And then in verse 4, he determined that the style of his preaching, the style of his preaching would be free from theatrics, human wisdom, human eloquence, and human pressure and persuasion. He said in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with persuasible words of men's wisdom. That's what he's talking about, persuasible words of men's wisdom. Eloquence, actions, and theatrics. Nope. But I'm going to preach in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. My message is going to be Christ, and it's going to be delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, and all of that, in order that, verse 5, in order that your faith, the faith of those who hear me, the faith of those who receive the message, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now I'm going to illustrate that and ask you to turn first to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And here in Matthew 16, and verse, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Our Lord said to the disciples, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And our Lord answered him and declared three facts. He says, number one, you're blessed. Four facts. You're blessed, Simon. You're blessed. You're blessed. Secondly, but flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that what you know, what you believe, you weren't taught by some other man. No, sir. Thirdly, my Father, which is in heaven, revealed that to you. And fourthly, and I say unto you that you're a rock. You're Peter, a rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You're blessed. Have you heard the gospel? Believed it? Received it? You're blessed. But let me tell you, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, and you're on the rock, you're in Christ, the body of the church. That's right. But He did it. He did it. All right, let me show you another one. Now, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, you remember the Lord met this woman at the well, revealed Himself to her. She went running down into Samaria, told all the people there, I met a man who knew all about me. Never met him before. He knew all about me. He told me everything I'd ever done. Is not this the Christ? And they went running out there to hear Him. These men in town went running out to hear Christ. Here now, look, John 4:39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him by the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans would come to him, they besought him, Christ Jesus, that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, they said, we heard you, but now we believe, not because of your saying, but because we've heard him ourselves. And we know, and you don't know till you heard him yourself. You can hear me all day, all year, and all the century. But you got to hear him who speaks from heaven. And we heard you, and we believed you. But now we've heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. All right, back to my text, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now verse 6, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What's he saying here? He says, we preach, and we preach wisdom, true wisdom, among them that are mature, among them that have grown in grace, among them that have been taught of God. They're children of wisdom. They recognize wisdom. And they justify wisdom. Yes, they do. You do. You're easy to preach to. Every preacher comes here and says, this is the easiest place in the world to preach the gospel. You know why? Because people know what you're saying and rejoice in it and are favorable to it. That's right. And so Paul said, I preach wisdom, but the only person that knows I'm preaching wisdom is the children of wisdom. They know it. They know it. Job said, the Lord said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. To depart from evil, that's understanding. David wrote in Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all they that do his will. Look back at 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom. Because the messenger is not famous, and because the followers of Christ Jesus are not famous, and because God hath chosen the foolish things, don't think the message is not famous. The message is wisdom. We preach wisdom. And a fellow that's got wisdom recognizes it. Howbeit, listen, it's not the wisdom of this world. It's not the wisdom of the princes of this world. Who are the princes? The leaders, the captains, the rulers in any area. Religious leaders, political leaders, or educational leaders. We preach wisdom, but it's not the wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom of the leaders of this world that comes to naught. Why would Paul say that? The wisdom of this world comes to naught. Well, true wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. How can the world's wisdom be true wisdom when it keeps changing? That's right. They tell me now the last generation was all wet. The things they believed and held to, they don't hold to that anymore. This new generation's got a new ball game. It's all new. Well, the next one's going to say the same thing. So every generation keeps changing. Well, how can it be true wisdom if it keeps changing, Ronnie? True wisdom is set. That's right. Secondly, how can it be true wisdom when they promise what they can't produce? I've always got a kick out of politics. Every 4 years, we get a new promise. One said we're going to have peace in our time. Boy. One said one time prosperity is around the corner. Which corner? We've been looking for it all the time, you know. One said a chicken in every pot and a car in every garage. But that hadn't been fulfilled. A great society. That's like grape nuts. It's neither grape nor nuts, you know. But it keeps changing, and they never produce what they promise. It gets worse. How can it be true wisdom when what we acquire, we can't keep? That's right. It fades away. Can't keep our health. Can't keep our memory. Can't keep our possessions. Can't keep our house from rotting and falling down. Whatever we acquire, we can't keep. The hymn writer says, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Their glories pass away. Change and decay in everything I see. Oh, thou that changest not, abide with me. I need wisdom that doesn't change. Absolutes, don't you? That's true wisdom. And how can it be wisdom, true wisdom, when all that a man knows and all that a man has and all that a man hopes for can be canceled by a case of Alzheimer's or a bump on the head? Wipe out. Spend your whole life studying, saving, keeping, learning, inventing, doing all these things, and then you don't even know your name. That's not true wisdom. No wisdom in that. Paul over there, look over there at chapter 1, verse 20. He said, where is the wise? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe, the scholar? Where is the debater, the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Where is the wise? Well, they're not to be found among those that God chose to lead Israel. They're not found among those that the Lord chose to be his disciples. They're not found among those the Lord chose to write the scriptures. They're not among the ministers or reformers or missionaries of the past. But God has chosen those that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe, scholar? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the world's wisdom foolishness? Without a knowledge of Christ, now let me tell you something, without a knowledge of God Almighty in Christ, all roads lead to ruin. That's what the scripture says. There is a way. It seems right to men, and the end is death. The end, the goal, the final resting place of all man's so-called schemes and plans and organizations and wisdom, nations, is death. But verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now listen, hang on. Even the hidden wisdom, it once was hidden. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There are a lot of mysteries in this wisdom of God. And it all was once hidden, that wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto the glory of his elect. The mysteries of the Godhead, the mysteries of the covenant of grace, the mysteries of the redemption of the elect, the mysteries of the incarnation and the glorious kingdom of God's dear Son was hidden back there in the mind of God, back there in the heart of God, back there in the purpose and will of God before the world began. It was hidden in the book of God. John said, I saw one sitting on a throne, and in his hand was a book written on the outside and the inside. And there was found no man in heaven, earth, or under the earth who could open the book. And I wept. And one of the elders said, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he'll open the book. He'll reveal what's in it. That's the key. The wisdom of God. Hidden. Mystery of the gospel. Hidden in the mind and heart and purpose of God. In the book of God. In Christ Jesus. But along comes the Redeemer. Opens the book. And then our Lord said to his disciples, Matthew, turn over here, Matthew 13 now, listen. The Lord said to his disciples in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, they ask him in verse 10. Listen to here. Listen to this. Matthew 13, 10, the disciples came and said unto him, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11, he answered and said, because it's given to you to know them. What? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away what he does have. Human wisdom. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they don't hear, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and not understand. Seeing you shall see and not perceive. These people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear. The mysteries, it's given to you to know these mysteries. The Son has revealed them. All of the mysteries concerning the covenant, the incarnation, how God can be just and justify, how God can forgive a sinner, how God can take a son of man and make him a son of God, that's revealed in Christ to babies, to children who have ears and eyes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right over one page from my text. Paul said he was a steward of the mysteries of God. I deal in the mysteries of God. That's what he said. That's my business, the mysteries of God. That's yours too. He said here in 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of me as of the ministers of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. But now they're revealed. Oh, we preach wisdom. Verse 7 of my text, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even that hidden wisdom which angels desire to look into, which God ordained before the world. Verse 8, which none of the leaders of this world knew. These fellows didn't know who he was. He was in the world. He made the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own religious leaders. Fellas that sat around and read the Old Testament scriptures every day, and they didn't recognize him. No, none of them knew him. Who is this? Why, he's the carpenter. Who is this? Son of Mary, Joseph. Who is this? A friend of sinners. Who is this? A glutton, a wine bibber. We'll not have this man reign over us. So they crucified the Lord of glory. I'm speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom from before the world began, but now revealed in Christ. And when he came, none of the princes of this world, none of them, in the capital of religion or the capital of Rome, none of them knew him. Had they known it, they'd have bowed and worshipped him. Had they known it, they'd have crowned him king. Had they known it, they'd have followed him like Peter did. But they didn't know him. And I'll tell you why. Even though they read these scriptures every Lord's day about him coming, And when they fulfilled everything that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and put him in a grave. Wiped their hands and said, we threw that fella. Pilate washed his hands in water and said, I don't want nothing to do with this man. Take him away. But it's written, verse 9, over there in Isaiah 64, here's the problem. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, not the natural eye, natural ear. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now these things that God's prepared for them that love him, we're not talking about the new heaven, new earth. We're not talking about future places and times and future rest and joy. We're talking about the right now. We're talking about God's mercies and blessings and grace and forgiveness and sanctification and redemption of a man's soul. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to prepare you for the place. That's right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's where we have these spiritual blessings. But these fellows didn't know him. They didn't know that he'd come to give us a righteousness, that he'd come to sanctify us and present us holy through his blood. They didn't know he came to put away our sins. They didn't know that. But we do. Look at verse 10. But God. But God. Many scriptures which tell about our lost condition and our deadness and our blindness and our unworthiness and our inability are followed with these two words. But God. Let me show you that over in, especially in Ephesians 2. But God. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But the natural eye doesn't see, and the natural ear doesn't hear, and the natural heart doesn't have any comprehension of what God is going to do for sinners in Christ. But God. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation too. Those rebels and Christ crucifiers in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great, eternal, everlasting, infinite love, wherewith he loved us, in Christ, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he hath raised us up together already and made us sit with Christ in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, but God. That's the difference between a rebel and a son, but God. That's the difference in a believer and an unbeliever, but God. That's the difference in a person who has true wisdom and no sense, that's but God. That's right. Look back at my text. But God. Who? God himself. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2, but God. But God, who God himself, what, hath revealed them unto us? Reveal what? The mysteries of grace, the mysteries of godliness. He hath revealed it unto us. How? By his Spirit. By his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep, mysterious things of God, which nobody knows or can understand unless God is his teacher. All right, here's a common illustration of this fact. That only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, the will of God, and the mysteries of God. And he's the only one who can teach us. God must teach us. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man? He's saying here that here's a friend of mine, Rob Golden. He's got thoughts in his heart, thoughts in his mind, but I can't read his mind or his thoughts, and I can't know what he's thinking unless he's pleased to tell me. And when he sits down and says, Brother Henry, I want to tell you something, what I've been thinking, then I know what he's thinking. And even so, listen, even so, the things of God, no man knows. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? I don't know. Can you by searching find God? Well, it's higher than the heavens. What can you know? Deeper in hell. What can you do? Broader than the sea. What can you do? There's only one way to know the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the mysteries of God. That's the Spirit of God to teach us through the Word. Take the Word and teach us. No man knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Now, verse 12. Now we, believers, we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. God has sent His Holy Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. They're ours. They're already given to us. They're given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But no way for us to know it till He stops us on our downward road and says, hang on here a minute. I got something to tell you. And He reveals to us all these things that God has determined and purchased and given freely. The Holy Spirit's not selling anything. He's giving it freely, freely, freely of God. Which things, verse 13, listen. Which things also we speak, not in words of man's wisdom. It's man's wisdom teaches. That's not the way we preach and teach. Not in man's words of wisdom. Not in man's methods and ways. Everybody wants to tell the church and the preachers how they ought to conduct their business. Well, we're not in a business. We're here to worship God. We're here to tell men about God, about the mysteries of God. So we don't talk their language. They don't talk ours. We don't talk theirs. Not in man's words of wisdom. Not in man's methods and means. But we speak the words of God. Listen. Which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words which the Holy Ghost teaches. The written word of God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's the way to preach. Use the word. Like a while ago, I was giving you illustration, went back to the word and got an illustration. That's what our Lord did. He went back to the Old Testament, here and there and yonder, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now let me tell you something. Changing the Word of God into modern language and modern phrases is not going to change the heart of a rebel. I can get up here and call God thee or thou, call Him you or yours, and it's not going to make any difference. You see what I'm trying to say? They want to keep changing the Bible so they can help a man understand it. He can't understand it except the Holy Spirit teaches him. Let's stay with the best translation of the Word of God, and that's this one right here, King James translation. Not with man. He said, we don't speak in the words which man's wisdom teaches. This is what I think you ought to do. God's already told me what to do. Preach the Word. And changing our music and our hymns into sounds and tempos of the modern world is not going to help these hard-hearted rebels now. If they won't listen to you sing How Great Thou Art, or hear us, a mighty fortress is our God, then no use you getting up here and going all this and you changing your words and acting like a fool. It won't help them. Our Lord gave this parable. He said there was a man in hell. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the father Abraham. Send Lazarus down here to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, there's a great gulf between us and you. We can't pass from here to you, or you can't pass to us. Well, he said, would you send Lazarus back to the earth? I've got five brothers, and I want him to go warn them not to come to this place. And Abraham said, they've got the scriptures. They've got Moses and Elijah and Jeremiah and David. They got all the scriptures. No, 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 he said, I got a better plan. Send Lazarus back from the dead. And he come walking in. They know he's been dead. They'll hear him. He said, son, if they hear not the scriptures, they will not be persuaded though one rose from the dead. That's how hard the heart is. It's like another millstone. It's like a flint. And you needn't change this book. You won't help him. You'll hurt him. Don't change your music. We're singing the same songs they sang in the churches 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Same message. And changing the worship of God. Now, here's what people say. They got the temple, contemporary worship. I'm against it. And I'll tell you why. Changing the worship of God into contemporary social activities and means will not break the hearts of our young people. Their hearts have got to be broken by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the truth of God. And you can put on a robe of religion, but you're not going to impress a rebel. And you can put on a robe of education and let them know that you've got several degrees, but it won't reach the intellectual. And you can put on blue jeans and tennis shoes and go in the pulpit, but it won't reach a young person with a heart hardened against God. That's right. So don't change a thing. Paul said, I'm not changing a thing. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And my methods and my style of preaching is not going to change one whit from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. That your faith should not stand in my coercion and compromise and all these other things and activities and fleshly socializing. Your faith will stand in the power of God, who's Christ Jesus. That's right. Because the natural man, look at verse 14. He's not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. He's not going to do it for two reasons. One of them, they're foolishness to him. It's a pack of foolishness. Barnard used to say it's a pack of foolishness to him. That's all it is to him, foolishness. Sheer nonsense. And the second reason is because they're spiritually discerned. You've got to have a spiritual mind to understand spiritual truth. You've got to have a spiritual heart to receive a spiritual gospel. That's right. But he says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual, he that's been born of the Spirit, he that's been taught of God, he judgeth all things. People sitting here tonight, born of God, taught of God, they understand every jot and tittle that I've spoken. That's right, you do. You understand these things. You understand what I'm saying. Because you understand these things. And yet, folks don't understand you. You understand this, but they don't understand you because you're not like them. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Not nobody. But we have the mind of Christ, and we can be instructed. We have the mind and spirit of Christ, so we can be taught of God. Oh my, Christ Jesus, the power, the wisdom of God.